are taking place worldwide. Today and in the next couple of days, there's going to be protests staged across the world. But we have to be honest and say that these protests haven't really achieved the main goal of bringing an end to the genocide or stopping Israel dead in its tracks, which is why Yemen plays such a pivotal role, because it's not just the protests that are taking place in Yemen. It's not just the condemnations that are coming from Yemeni leaders. It's the actual military activities, military escalations, military preparations, military attacks that Yemen is determined and committed to in order to bring an end to the genocide taking place in Palestine.
Yes. You see, the Yemen stance is with the Palestinians. It's a supportive stance. That means what we are watching every day in Palestine, now since 18 months, it's 1.5 years, killing the Palestinians in every day. That's on a daily basis, with the aircrafts, with the drones, bombardment, and with the demolition to the houses, destruction, and the streets, and everything. So they make this life there as a miserable life. And there was an agreement, and the mediators that they have reached with the Hamas movement, that there will be, of course, phases. So for 42 days, until some of the Israelis who were the prisoners were released, and then waiting for the second phase. But Netanyahu rejected everything, and he is going with the plan of Trump, because Trump wants to get money from anywhere, because he wanted to buy Gaza. He wanted to make skyscrapers in Gaza. He created a new world over there, and he will expel all the Palestinians for nothing. Now, what is he doing now? He finds another problem for the world. The problem is now is the customs tariff. Customs tariff not only for, you see, one country. It's for all countries. For all countries. Now, the friend country and even those who they are against the United States. Now, he wanted in that to gain money. So Trump is a trader. He is, you know, as we say, a state, as it's we know from the beginning, that he wanted to make money out of everything, not even to make any interest for the people. His own people in the United States are demonstrating against his plans.
And he's losing money. You mentioned that Trump, he prides himself on making money, bringing in money. Now he's losing money with the war on Yemen. According to U.S. officials and U.S. reports, the military campaign on Yemen has cost the U.S. over $1 billion.
Let me tell you one thing, Mr. Yusuf Fadak. Now, he depends now on the visit to the Gulf countries and to Saudi Arabia, because he wanted to say that he defended them. So he's going to take the money from them. He's a trader. He's, you know, as you say, a real estate contractor, and he is trying to find money from any place. Now he will suck with China. China, they are clever people. They are very peaceful people, and now he imposed on them about 64% for this custom tariff. China rejected that, and they also responded in 35% in the customs tariff to the China. Now, what he wanted to do to create jobs in the United States and to find the factories that has been already lost, and he wanted to make new competition for the United States. So this man is lost. He doesn't have anything in his mind. He is just in a marriage with Netanyahu, and both people, they are criminals. They do not have any plan for any constructive planning in the world. They don't need anything to say. Even the kid, when he looks at those people, they're crazy people. Look what he did to the Ukrainian president, as they were giving billions to him to fight Russia, and at the end he humiliated him at his office in the White House. So this is this man.
So you're saying it's a reckless
values. He doesn't have values and respect to himself and to the others.
So from what you're saying is, the Trump administration is acting recklessly without actually getting the right advice.
Yes.
Because when you take into consideration the war that they launched on Yemen, let's talk about what they've targeted so far. We've seen them target cotton fields, cotton factories, steel factories.
Yes.
They're targeting power transmission towers. Yes. They're targeting energy sources. They're targeting the port of Hodeida. They're even targeting solar panels. What does this tell you about, does Trump know what he's doing in Yemen, or is he just enacting upon an Israeli policy to spread chaos and destruction across the Muslim world?
Exactly. This is what we can see. And the destruction of a health center in Mashhad, that is in Hajja area.
Right.
What is the purpose of destroying just a health center for the rural areas? And if those people are having this, as we say, long-range missiles, what do they have? He's saying that he will destroy the capabilities of the Houthis. So what did he find in that health center and in this telecommunications towers and in all the other services that he wanted to do the people to be deprived from these services as the Palestinians? So they have the same plan. It is the plan of Netanyahu and Trump. Why? Because they studied in one school, the school of Zionism. And Zionism hates Islam. And they want to destroy everything, every part, every single item in the Islamic countries. And with them now, even the British Prime Minister, Sama, he said that he wanted to root out the Muslims. They do not want to have a state in Palestine. They are afraid of it because they will be affected. What is it going to do? It's just a small state and to live with the Israelis. And now they rejected everything. And the West Bank, they destroyed it. They destroyed Gaza. That means they are rejecting the whole international laws and even the United Nations. What is the United Nations, my friend? Where is it? What does it do? And it was established in 1945, the last century. And it is because of this wars now they have lost everything. They want to destroy everything. So they are crazy people. When they even employed Elon Musk. Now you see Elon Musk. What is that guy is doing over there? People there criticizing him. They want to stop everything. So it is now the time of crazy men.
Yeah, it's ironic that you mentioned that, especially with Trump. He posted a video on social media the other day,
yes,
which showed a U.S. fighter jet attacking a tribal gathering here in Yemen. As you know, maybe you can shed some light to our audience about tribal gatherings where,
yes,
they celebrate occasions like Eid al-Fitr, they celebrate Eid al-Adha, they celebrate
yes,
tribal disputes, and they usually get together in this public open place arena, and they form a circle, a large circle,
yes,
consisting of 100, 200 tribesmen, to celebrate the occasion of Eid al-Fitr. Trump, he waged an attack against such an occasion where they were meeting tribesmen, hundreds of tribesmen were meeting, and they were ushering Eid al-Fitr. And he took the video and he posted it on social media, and he's saying that he attacked Houthi militants as they were preparing and planning attacks on the U.S.
No, this is a false. This is not, any logic in that. This man, he wanted to find excuses and these allegations. What we used in Yemen to have these circles of the tribes for this, anniversaries of the Yemenis and the holy occasions, religious occasions for Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Fitr or any other occasion. So they get together, and even if they have a wedding party, they can make such circles. So it is not in a way that they are, fighters or they are preparing to hit the United States or to make any kind of battles in that area. But it is because misunderstanding of the people here in Yemen. He doesn't understand, and he wanted only to find an excuse and also to find an answer to what is doing and what kind of crimes he's committing. Now, those people in Yemen, they are not taking care of all of this because they know that they are very hatred people. And they know the Israelis, they know the Americans, and these leaderships. They, as I told you, they have very bad intention against the Islamic general. Look now what they are doing against our brothers in Iran. It's the same story. They now what they are doing, they are sending to the Red Sea now a new and the biggest aircraft carrier, which is called Gerald Ford. And with this now, war vessels. And they said if there will be any potential war in the area against Iran. So they find excuses. They don't have any plan. They come to a place and they find allegations and this pretext to show that they are fighting criminals. No, he's the criminal himself. And this is what Sayyid Abdul Malik, the revolution leader, he said, he's the criminal because they wanted to fight civilians and very ordinary people. And we are here to be with the Palestinians. So all the demonstrations, what we have been watching in Sana'a and various governorates, it is a supportive stance for our brothers. And if we look on these daily killings and mass killings to the Palestinians, extermination in every place, what do they want from the Palestinians? They do just to exterminate them and to root them out from their country and to take the Palestinian land. As you know, it's not really strange from the United States. How was it built, this state? It was built on the Red Indians' rights.
Exactly.
And they have taken their land and they killed them. And now they are nothing over there. And they want to do the same story in everywhere. And so they are criminals.
It seems that the only language that they respect or understand is power. Which is why, you know, they haven't waged an attack against North Korea, against Russia. Any country that has power, the U.S. and Israel, they stay away from them. They don't want to get into war with them. With Yemen, not necessarily that Yemen has the advanced missile and weapon capability that Russia or North Korea has, but with that, the U.S. and Israel, they still attack Yemen, but they're not achieving any of their goals. I think at the beginning of these military operations, the U.S. was surprised that they found that the Yemeni people would not back away from their commitment to the Palestinian cause. Because Trump, he was talking big talk in the beginning. He was saying that, all hell is going to rain down upon them. They will be hit like they've never, you know how Trump talks.
Yes.
They will be hit like they've never been hit before.
Yes.
And, he sent in the fighter jets, the aircraft carriers, and he was at that time expecting that the Ansar Allah movement, the Yemeni army, would be intimidated. But what he found instead was missiles and drones targeting the USS Harry Truman after they waged a surprise attack on Yemen 4 weeks ago. Why is it that Yemen is the only nation that is fighting the U.S. and Israel militarily, even though, of course, you have Iran that's doing its part? If Iran gets into a war, it could very well lead to World War III.
Yes, yes.
With that said, why is Yemen the only country acting actively militarily?
You see, Yemen, and it is stand. It is a very humane country. They feel about the Palestinians, and they always see these crimes and massacres and genocides. They cannot really feel it, and they will not stand it, because we are human beings, and we have dignity, and this dignity is not available in other places. So that's why the only country in the world, and it is by the admission. So many people admit that Yemen is a unique country in its way, in its behavior, in its leadership. It's different. And we have the feeling to collaborate with our brothers, because those killers, they may kill every child, every woman, every person, and they may claim the right to them that they are criminals, that they are terrorists. Who is the terrorist? Who created terrorism in the world now? It is the United States and Israel. And they cannot be accepted. If you look at the situation now in Syria, in Lebanon, it is the same. They are killing them. And every day now, the Israeli jet fighters hit the Palestinians, the Lebanese, and the Syrians. for doing nothing. So it's not only Yemen. It's a big story here.
What do you think is going to happen in the near future with this war unfolding in Yemen and with the genocide continuing in Palestine? This is an important question I want to ask you. Because in his last speech, Sayyid Abdel Malik Badreddin al-Houthi, he mentioned, he sent a warning to neighboring countries. He sent a warning to Arab regimes and nations in Africa to not help the U.S. or Israel in its military campaign on Yemen.
Yes.
And he issued a warning that if they do engage, whether it's providing logistical support, intelligence support, military support to Israel or the U.S. in their war against Yemen, then there will be repercussions and consequences from Yemen to whichever state is helping these nations. So what do you think that's going to look like in the future? Do you think that right now we are on the precipice of attacking one of these neighboring countries that's helping the U.S. carry out attacks against innocent Yemenis?
I think it's fairly clear now, after the warning of Sayyid Abdel Malik Badreddin al-Houthi, the revolution leader, he said, don't interfere. Leave us alone to fight the United States. Don't put your fingers in this. That is just the warning. That means, as we all know, that those coalition that they call themselves, they have been fighting Yemen for 10 years. And they were the, of course, the guys of the United States. And it was hidden. Now we are fighting face to face the United States. So the leader of the revolution told them, leave us alone. We know now as you were the agents. But now we are with the real criminal. Let's fight with them. Leave us alone. Because don't try to show that you are our brothers. No. Because we know that they do not have any kind of attention or any kind
but
of
but
mercy.
Do you think that Yemen will attack one of these countries? If, for example, Saudi Arabia or the UAE?
It is a warning now. That but they know his words. Mm-hmm. If he said a word, he kept his promise. Mm-hmm. That means, listen,
they
we have
know that
done,
very well,
we,
yeah.
Yeah, we have done with it, you know, previous times. Mm-hmm. So it's to them, okay, now try to remind them, if you make anything, we will, we know what we are going to do.
Do you think that's perhaps not
those, as they call it, glass towers in the Emirates?
But Trump, he's asking for money from these countries, so do you think that Trump wants Ansar Allah to attack the UAE or Saudi Arabia so that way they can...
No.
With the U.S.?
He doesn't want Ansar Allah to shoot over there now. He is just giving them as a fear, as a scary thing. So he will say, okay, if you do not pay us now for the protection that we protect you, you may get trouble. That is how he's exploiting the situation. So he's always like that. He exploits the Gulf countries and Saudi Arabia because now his budget needs that money.
Well, Trump wants money from the Gulf, from these Persian Gulf states, and you know, making the illusion that they have to pay money if they want to stay
exactly.
safe. I think they've come to the realization that they are actually in more danger if they pay the U.S. instead of just, you know, being good neighbors with Yemen and avoiding a war with Yemen, because that has proven to be to their detriment in previous wars. Thank you. That's all. I want to continue this conversation with you. That's all the time that we have for today with Dr. Ali Muhammad Al-Sabri, political expert and a professor at Sana'a University. Thank you for joining us today. And please be sure to join us next week as we keep you informed on all of the latest events and developments happening in Yemen. Until then, stay informed and please stay safe.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked among
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of... Self-purification is the most significant factor.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
Emamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program, Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Donishman. Please stay tuned. The true followers of the Ahlul Bayt are like honey. What does this mean? It means that they are so kind and sweet in their action with others. If you fill a spoon with honey and put it in the mouth of a person, what will happen? His or her mouth will be sweet. Our sweet behavior with our fellow brothers and sisters will make them sweet and kind in their hearts and souls. We as Muslims must speak sweetly. We must behave sweetly. And we must not bother others or be unkind to them. We must learn kind behavior from Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, who showed mercy even to his enemies. One of the interpretations of the word salam is peace. By sending salams to others, we are speaking peacefully with them. Saying salams also means that I don't break the heart of others, since salam is among the attributes of Allah too. Also, salam means that people are free from my bothering. They find peace with me. Therefore, a person who sends salams and salutations to Prophet Muhammad and the Ahlul Bayt is a person who is full of peace and tranquility. Such a person must respect others and is respected by them. Thank you very much, dear listeners of Arab English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Donishman. To find more about this program and our other programs, please visit our new website at iranradio.ir. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye. Thank you.
option for today and a better tomorrow. IRIB English Radio. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. In the limelight.
Ted Cruz, the Republican senator from Texas, has warned that his fellow Republicans risk a bloodbath in the 2026 midterm elections if Donald Trump's Liberation Day tariffs cause a recession. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Guardian has covered the story and tells us more. The first signs of an internal U.S. political backlash against Donald Trump's declaration of a global trade war are starting to emerge amid tanking stock markets worldwide, including on Wall Street, and widespread international criticism of the move. Just hours after Donald Trump unveiled a sweeping panoply of tariffs in an event he dubbed Liberation Day, four Republican senators openly defied him by voting for a Senate resolution from Democrats demanding that the 25% tariffs on Canadian products be reversed. The resolution lacks the force of law, but its support from Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul, both of Kentucky, Susan Collins of Maine, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, immediately signaled the deep misgivings among some Republicans over Donald Trump's tariff gambit, which has triggered a global sell-off of stocks. Mitch McConnell, the former Senate Majority Leader, issued a scathing denunciation after Wednesday evening's vote, calling tariffs bad policy that would trigger economic hardship. Mitch McConnell said in a statement, "Trade wars with our partners hurt working people most. Tariffs drive up the cost of goods and services. There are attacks on everyday working Americans." Further criticism came from Donald Trump's former Vice President Mike Pence, who called the tariffs the biggest peacetime tax hike in U.S. history. Mike Pence posted, "These tariffs are nearly 10 times the size of those imposed during the Trump-Pence administration and will cost American families over $3,500 per year." The four Republicans who voted with Democrats did so despite a public appeal from Donald Trump not to support the resolution, tabled by Tim Kaine, a Democratic senator from Virginia who was Hillary Clinton's running mate in the 2016 presidential election, which Donald Trump won. The resolution was aimed at curtailing the powers that Trump claimed under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, which he has invoked to tackle the United States' $1.2 trillion trade deficit, and in the case of Canada, cited the influx of fentanyl through its border. Continue with The Guardian's coverage of this story. Mitch McConnell pulled no punches in his attack on Donald Trump's policy. He said, "Preserving the long-term prosperity of American industry and workers requires working with our allies, not against them." With so much at stake globally, the last thing we need is to pick fights with the very friends with whom we should be working to protect against China's trade policies and practices. Mitch McConnell added, at a time when Americans are tightening their belts, we would do well to avoid policies that heap on the pain. We ought to strengthen our friendships abroad and reinforce our allies as pillars of American prosperity and security. Rand Paul, his fellow Kentuckian, said the tariffs were unconstitutional. Rand Paul told reporters, our Constitution was very specific that taxes, tariffs are a form of tax. Taxes originate in the House, come to the Senate, and then go to the President. Rand Paul added, they don't just go to the President and no one else. What kind of system would it be if all of our taxes and laws were passed by one person? He later told Fox News Channel, trade is proportional to wealth. The last 70 years of international trade has been an exponential curve upwards, and the last 70 years of prosperity has been upwards also. We are richer because of trade with Canada, and so is Canada. Susan Collins, the senator from Maine, said tariffs would damage lobstering, agriculture, and the pulp and paper industries in her state, which borders Canada. She also lambasted imposing tariffs on U.S. allies. She said on the Senate floor, the fact is the vast majority of fentanyl in America comes from the southern border with Mexico rather than the northern border with Canada. She added, one of my biggest concerns is we should be distinguishing between allies and our adversaries and not treating them the same way. Lisa Murkowski, a senator from Alaska, said tariffs would also hurt her state and urged Donald Trump to find a better way to mutually secure our borders and address fentanyl trafficking than by starting a trade war. She posted on X, while not all Canadian trade practices are fair, I'm keenly aware of the negative impacts in store for Alaskan families and businesses should tariffs drive up costs of essential goods. She added, in Alaska, we share more than 1,538 miles of border with Canada. We are friends, we are neighbors, we are partners and allies when it comes to our economies, our mutual defense, our cultures, and yes, our trade. The outspoken Republican criticism hinted at a wider unease in the Republican Party that is mostly being kept muted for fear of repercussions from Donald Trump. Tom Tillis, a Republican senator from North Carolina, warned about potential irreparable damage to his farming constituents before Wednesday's announcement. Tom Tillis told CNN, anyone who says there may be a little bit of pain before we get things right needs to talk to my farmers who are one crop away from bankruptcy. The Economic Times has also covered the same story and tells us more. Ted Cruz, the Republican senator from Texas, has warned that his fellow Republicans risk a bloodbath in the 2026 midterm elections if Donald Trump's Liberation Day tariffs cause a recession in the United States. Ted Cruz also warned that the president's tariffs, if they stay in place for long, and are met by global retaliation on American goods could trigger a full-blown trade war that would destroy jobs here at home and do real damage to the U.S. economy. He added, 100 years ago, the U.S. economy didn't have the leverage to have the kind of impact we do now. But I worry there are voices within the administration that want to see these tariffs continue forever and ever. The Texan's comments made on his verdict podcast on Friday, 4th of April, were a further sign that the imposition of global reciprocal duties on imported goods is causing unease among Republicans. The Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa introduced bipartisan legislation on Thursday, 3rd of April, to grant Congress more power over placing tariffs on U.S. trading nations. The bill, co-sponsored by the Democratic Senator Maria Cantwell, would reaffirm the role of Congress in setting and approving trade policy. On his podcast, Ted Cruz warned the tariffs and trade retaliation over the long term could push the United States into a recession. Ted Cruz said, "You would face a Democratic House and you might even face a Democratic Senate." Ted Cruz warned, "If we're in the middle of a recession and people are hurting badly, they punish the party in power." He added he did not share the White House's position that the tariffs would usher in a booming economy. "But if every other country on earth hits the United States with retaliatory tariffs and Trump's so-called reciprocal levies remain in place, that is a terrible outcome that would destroy jobs here at home and do real damage to the U.S. economy."
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome to another enlightening episode of Islamic Upbringing, where we dive deep into the essential aspects of nurturing your youth in line with Islamic teachings. In this program, our discussions are rooted in the guidance of the Holy Quran and the timeless wisdom of hadith from our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family, and the insightful narratives of our noble imams. I'm glad to have with us today Brother Muhammad Liaquat Abbas, a research scholar from the Seminary of Qom, who possesses a wealth of knowledge in both Islamic studies as well as psychology. So, Brother Liaquat Abbas, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sister.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, when coming to peer pressure, it's not just in the academic teaching, it's not just in the some things that are limited to the school. The peer pressure continues in the social spheres as well. How you behave on social media, what you post and what you don't post, what you wear and what you do not wear, the pressure keeps on continuing. And as long as the pressure continues, we are here to address the problems. Yes, Brother Liaquat, peer pressure, as we said, is not just in one sphere of a teen's life. It is in multiple spheres. So it's important to address the other spheres. So, very quick, I would want you to address those fears.
Okay. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So, teen is pressurized into kind of substance use, okay, like maybe smoking or drinking or committing other sins, and also like academic dishonesty.
Yep.
In an exam to cheat, yeah. Likewise, the teen can also be pressurized on social media platform, like example, the teen can be pressurized to post certain photos or messages on social media in order to fit the the group where he is or she is in, even if the teen is not comfortable in doing so. So, example, he or she looks at his friends or her friends posting photos on a daily basis or like whatever, wherever they go. And they are like, I have done today so-and-so thing and stuff. And they're like, okay, you don't do it. Yeah, we are doing it. See, everyone in our class are doing it. Why aren't you doing it?
Right.
You see, this is one. This is a place where a teen is kind of pressurized to post his or her pics on social media platform. So over here, the solution is very straightforward. That is, the teen might consider over here discussing their feelings of what he or she wants openly with their friend group. For example, if the friends are going to listen to him. Or also, they can set boundaries. Example, or you know what, if it is really very important, then I'm going to put my pick example in complete hijab if it is a girl, okay? Or I'm going to put my pick for one day maybe, like if it is really important and that too, okay? In a proper clothing example, which is not
on a daily basis. I don't want to humiliate myself on a daily basis.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a
doesn't
it's a
make
normal
sense
pick
to me.
And it's not something which I'm going to use to even. Like, all right. I have to, on a daily basis, no way, okay? So I have my limits and boundaries for myself. So
right.
You are going to keep your conditions forward.
Right.
So this is also important.
So one thing is that social media defines you. Your social accounts do define you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to post things which are important, which define you. You don't have to come under peer pressure here. What to post, what not to post.
So
what to write, what
posting.
Not to write.
Yeah.
What to upload, what not to upload.
So even if you're doing them, you are doing with your own free will, example.
Yes,
yeah?
Yes.
And the final thing, which is very important in social media pressure, is to educate about the negative effects of social media and like which are going to happen in today's world and which can definitely happen. Example, about how... how the bad guys can take or can utilize your pick in a bad manner if you're going to portray it.
That's an important mode here. Yeah. Let's take a break and discuss that after a short break.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman. Give in to Shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin, Wa Khaliquna, Wa Rasiquna, Wa Huwa Ala Kulli Shay'in.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We are listening to Islamic Upbringing. Brother Liaquat Abbas is here with me in the studio, and we are discussing peer pressure. Here, we discuss peer pressure on social media. You said that. When you post things on social media, post what defines you, post what you like. And if you don't like certain thing, but you have peer pressure, you are under peer pressure, they are forcing you to post things that you don't want to post. Talk openly about it with them. Discuss it openly. Discuss your feelings. There's nothing wrong about it. And then you said, posting things leaves digital traces.
Yes.
And someone can actually misuse it. So be aware of this thing.
There are a lot
You are someone with good intentions. You post things with good intentions. But not everyone out there in that sphere where you don't know people actually... In the fictional world, you really don't know them. You never know like how kind of people are there. So do not unnecessarily give your digital traces to them to get
exactly.
misused. Yeah,
exactly. So if something like this is happening on a daily basis, like there are people, they're hackers, and there's this concept of cybercrime, and you know there are a lot of cases happening in today's world. So especially. I would say the sisters or the example, the girls or the teens, the teenagers who are girls, example, who are mostly falling prey.
Victim.
To this kind of thing.
Yes.
So they get a message and they kind of go into this chat and they share their pics
trapped.
And they get trapped. Exactly. And you know, there was a research, and in that research, those hackers or those people who want to extract pics of those girls who don't share their pics on social media, example, they are gonna get paid. The hackers or these kind of people who collect photos are gonna get paid, you see, on social media platforms. So, you know, like, oh, this is a new face, this is a new pic, example, yeah?
Right.
So they are gonna misuse in such a manner. And you know what? Girls of age group from the 13 to 18, about 80% of girls fall victim on social, on this kind of platforms,
yeah,
where they're gonna pressurized. Example, they're gonna get a message, and normally these messages are through a person, and they're gonna send messages to only those age groups, example, who are between 13 and 18. They're 13, 14, 15, and they have to, like, they are compelled, and they kind of, you know, this kind of abuse and stuff, and it goes on. So alhamdulillah, if the teens are safe from this, it's alhamdulillah indeed.
Yes.
But you know, you never know. It's not always the same for everyone,
right.
You know. So it's always good if a teen stays away from uploading things on social media, like even once or even on a daily basis, I would say. Personally, myself, I don't share anything on the social media. And you know what? Even the tech giants who call themselves and who are like the CEOs of these kind of social media networking sites or applications or websites, even they don't share anything about themselves on social media,
right,
because they
right
know
too.
They have created something very kind of
dangerous,
yeah,
dangerous.
Yeah, dangerous. And when it was asked to one of the CEOs, he was when it was asked, where did you go last night? He was like, it's my personal info, I don't want to share it. So
straight away,
yeah, I don't want to share it. It's my personal info,
but I have made a platform where I am forcing you to share all your personal
and
there are
info. Billions, yes.
Yeah, let's take a deep sigh and let's take a short break. I will be back in a while.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Islamic Upbringing. Brother Liaquat Abbas is helping us with so important insights. Well, you said that there are these tech giants who don't share their info, and when they are asked about some personal questions in the interviews, they say, like, this is our personal info and we really don't feel like sharing. So this is something like you made a platform, you are grasping all the personal info, you're grasping it through digital traces, and then you yourself are not sharing. This in itself shows like how dangerous world we are actually living in. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, seek refuge in me, be that from the sharr of jinn or ins, be that from the sharr of evil of the jinn or the mankind.
Yes. So this peer pressure, if we can see this on a daily basis, be it on social media platform or, you know, even shaitan as well. It's very interesting that we get a kind of pressure from shaitan to commit a sin, yeah? We get a lot of pressure from our nafs, from our own selves, you
right,
see,
right.
In order to commit a sin. It's a kind of tendency. It's not something which
but
we
there's
have.
But there's a shaitan pressure, there's a self pressure, and there's this peer pressure. And you have to deal with all
media
these pressures.
Pressure. You know, there's invitations from social media,
yeah,
do this, do that. And now that there's AI as well, who's going to help us, assist us in this path, I would say. Unfortunately, where a person is like, he or she can edit their pics and can upload them, can beautify them, and can change the hair color, can change the eye color. You see, there's a lot happening, unfortunately, in today's world. So I would say, like, this peer pressure is something like happens on a daily basis, and unfortunately, you know what? People unfortunately got used to it. They don't even consider that they are pressurized. Imam Hussain alayhi salam has a beautiful hadith, and that is where he says the conclusion is live a life of a person who is free in nature. Live the life of a person who is free from all the desires.
Yes.
You see, they say azade zindagi kunit, you see.
Yes.
Like live freely.
Live
freely. It means, it shows that a person shouldn't be pressurized with oneself from shaitan, from other people, from social media. I am free. I have free will. And what is obliged to me or for me is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yep.
So from my free will, with my free will, I'm going to follow the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is through the path of the Ahlul Bayt and the Holy Quran.
Yes, inshallah. And also learn the skill of saying no.
Yes.
Skill of saying no is very important. It's going to build a lot of boundaries around you. Mm-hmm. And it's going to save you from a lot of soft traps that you can't even imagine. Thank you, brother, for being with us. Thank you. That was all the time we had for today. Thank you, dear listeners. Just ponder on those insights. That was really helpful. And we hope you enjoyed. Thank you for listening. Until another episode, take good care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 31 meters, 9650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Talks will be indirect. We do not accept any way other than indirect talks.
Tehran announces high-level indirect negotiations with Washington will be held in Oman on Saturday.
The U.S. should demonstrate political sincerity, uphold the spirit of mutual respect, participate in dialogue and consultation.
China and Russia back a planned talks between Iran and the U.S. with Beijing advising Washington to act sincerely and respectfully. And the Israeli occupation military continues killing more Palestinian women and children in Gaza, where nearly 60 deaths have been reported in a single day. Hello, everyone, and welcome to World News. Now, Iran has reaffirmed its stance that negotiations with Washington will proceed only through indirect channels, ruling out any direct talks.
The negotiations will be held next Saturday in Oman. The talks will be indirect. We do not accept any way other than indirect talks.
Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi says the U.S. is trying to impose its will through pressure and coercion, and is not called negotiations, but rather an act of dictation. Araghchi emphasized that Tehran views indirect channels as a better means of ensuring effective and fruitful negotiations. Minister noted